Hello and welcome. You are listening to the U-Urban Bible Study Weekly Leaders Training Podcast. The U curriculum is especially created by and for urban and multi-ethnic churches. This podcast is designed to help leaders lead a Bible study using Lifeway's U-Urban Bible Study resources. Each week, we examine the biblical passage, review some questions teachers may face, and give a practical teaching tip. I'm Dr. Mark Crosston, General Editor of the U Bible Study, and today joining me is Dr. Christina Zimmerman, our Content Editor. Hello, Christina.
Hello, Mark. Good to be with you today. We have what I believe is an exciting study on Elijah. Specifically, we'll be talking about Elijah living outside the comfort zone. Now, one of the things that we know about us as Christians is that our lives should be lived in service to God. And sometimes that service requires that we work or live outside of our comfort zone. So Elijah is a model for us. He models for us how to rely on God regardless of what we face and regardless of the mistakes we make. That's our unit of study for this lesson.
All right. So our point for today is serving God often calls for courage, So go ahead and I'll read our first section. Which reminds us that people oppose God from 1 Kings 16, starting at verse number 29. Ahab, son of Omri, became king over Israel in the 38th year of Judah's king Asa. Ahab, son of Omri, reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. But Ahab, son of Omri, did what was evil in the sight, in the Lord's sight, more than all who were before him. Then, as if following the sin of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, were not enough, he married Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and then proceeded to serve Baal and bow in worship to him. He set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal that he had built in Samaria. Ahab also made an Ashtaroth pole. Ahab did more to anger the Lord God of Israel than all the kings of Israel who were before him. Wow. So this is quite a lesson as we are moving into this, as people oppose God, and we get to see here, this is not even just ordinary people. This is a leader of the kingdom, and the leaders who lead the kingdom also lead all the people under their jurisdiction to those same ends. What are you thinking, Christina?
Yeah, Mark, it's amazing that these are leaders. And you can see that we've been introduced to the players in our study, and that's Elijah, Ahab, and Jezebel. Elijah, we'll find, is the person, and we know him to be the one who obediently did as God commanded. But Ahab and Jezebel have been introduced as evil. They practice idolatry. They were reckless in killing. They were shameless in practicing immorality. But Elijah, you know, he's going to help us to understand that even though people oppose God and these people are Christians, we should obediently follow God.
Right. So we all live in places and times where everybody will not be a follower of God, and where people all around us, in our families, on our jobs, in our communities, in the government, will oppose God. So this is going to be a great lesson because we all live in these kind of circumstances. We don't live in a Christian world. We just live in the world, and it's our job to carry the name of Jesus Christ and win people for his kingdom. So people oppose God. So I would just caution all of us, you know, don't ever get discouraged because people don't agree with you. Jesus said, beware if everybody speaks well of you. And he also says that I didn't come. He said, I came to set sometimes even a man at adversary with his own household. So there are going to be times when there will be people around us who oppose God. And that is just the world we live in today.
Amen. Amen.
So the second part of this says what we ought to do in light of this is that believers should take a stand. So let me read chapter 17 and verse number 1. Now, Elijah the Tishbite from the Gilead settlers said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, in whose presence I stand, there will be no dew or rain during these years except by my command. So, wow. So this really is taking a stand. Elijah, just one of the settlers, is now making this huge statement against the king. And to make a stand against the king is really powerful. What are you thinking, Christina?
Right. You know, Elijah did something very dangerous, even for that time. He spoke against the popularity of this false god, Baal, and against the king and queen. So imagine what that would look like for us as believers to take a stand against the wickedness in this culture that you were talking about earlier there, Mark. You know, what prevents us from taking a stand? You know, there's so much out there that goes against God. There's hatred, there's fornication, adultery, immoral behaviors, whatever, you know, but we need to trust God, knowing that God will back up his word.
All right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And so I can remember Esther in a similar circumstance when the government was, the king was about to come against her people. And she had a conversation with her uncle Mordecai. And because she didn't want to do it, she understood what this could cost her. Taking a stand could cost her. And she said, if the king doesn't raise up his scepter to me, I could die right there on the spot. So Mordecai reminded her, he said, who knows if you are called into the kingdom for such a time as this? And so he encouraged Esther, even in the midst of that difficulty, to take a stand. And that's what we all have to do. Lots of times we want to go along and get along. We live in a time where there's cancel culture and where people on social media love to criticize. I think they're just experts at criticism. And so it is difficult to take a stand in these days. And yet the Bible calls for all of us who claim the name of Jesus Christ to take a stand for the gospel. And so we get a great example of that in the life of Elijah right here. And he made a powerful pronouncement. He said, there will be no dew or rain during these years except by my command. And so this meant that without rain, the people would be hungry. The economy would slow down. And the king would not have the accolades of his faithful people in the community. So this pronouncement was a very difficult thing in this time and place where Elijah was. And so there it is, to take a stand in even in times like this. Any other thoughts on this one, Christine?
Yeah. Yes, and you know, Mark, this shows the confidence that Elijah had in God. There's no way that he could have made such a pronouncement if he did not understand the attributes of God, the power of God. And he could not have made this type of statement if he didn't have a right relationship with God as well. So that is definitely a great example, a great model for us when we shrink back, because it's hard. It's hard. We don't have the confidence many times to take a stand against all of these things that are going around us in the culture. But Elijah helps us with that.
All right. Yeah. So this was also in their time and in their ears, a direct attack on Baalism, because the worshipers of Baal would also always believe that it was Baal who brought everything to life every spring. And so by having this drought and the plants not coming back to life in the spring, this was also a direct attack on those who were worshipers of the god Baal. So there he is. He's what a powerful stand he's taken. So here's the third point, that God sustains the courageous. He sustains the courageous. Let me read starting in verse number 2. Then the word of the Lord came to him. Leave here, turn eastward, and hide at the Wadi Cherith, where it enters the Jordan. You are to drink from the Wadi. I have commanded the ravens to provide for you there. So he proceeded to do what the Lord commanded. Elijah left and lived at the Wadi Cherith, where it enters the Jordan. The ravens kept bringing him bread and meat in the morning and in the evening, and he would drink from the Wadi. After a while, the Wadi dried up, because there was no rain in the land. So there it is, that God sustains us even in the midst of these times. And so it's interesting that in the midst of a drought, God tells Elijah to go to the Wadi Cherith to be sustained. Now, that's interesting because the Wadi is a low-lying piece of ground that only collects water during the rainy season. So if it's raining, the Wadi is like a pool of refreshment. But during a drought, a Wadi would be dried up and wouldn't be able to sustain anybody. And so this is fascinating because here in the midst of this terrible situation, God tells Elijah, go to the place where you wouldn't think you would be able to be sustained, the Wadi Cherith. And he says, I'm going to sustain you there. And not only does he sustain him at the Wadi, but he sustains him with the raven. And the raven was considered a dirty bird, a scavenger that only, took in 8 dead things. And so the dirty bird, the scavenger that feasts on the dead, is bringing bread and meat to him to eat. So there it is. He is eating and being refreshed out of the mouth of a dirty bird, the raven, at a place where one wouldn't even think one could be sustained. So this is a reminder to us how God can sustain us even in the most unusual places and circumstances. What are you thinking, Christina?
No, Mark, when you hear things like that, it just makes you fall deeper and deeper in love with God, because we know that we have a God who can sustain us like that, even though it seems impossible. But you know, one thing that jumps out at me too is that Elijah proceeded to do what God commanded. That's verse 5. And when he did everything that God commanded him to do, that's when God could work in his life and God sustained him. So the key for us is to listen to God and to do what God tells us to do. And then we may see those same type of impossible things in our lives as well.
Sure. And if you take time to look at the Did You Know in this particular lesson, you'll be reminded of how God has sustained our people over these last 400 or 500 years of slavery, Jim Crow segregation, and injustice and oppression in this country. He has sustained us in an unusual way, in an unusual place. So God did not just stop with Elijah. He still sustains us today. In fact, think about the fact that over this past year, we have gone through this terrible pandemic. And thanks be to God, many of us have survived. Everybody didn't survive. What is our current number of deaths? Around 600,000 in the United States. Many have died, but many of us have also survived in the midst of this. And so we're grateful to God about how he sustains us in unusual circumstances and places. Any last thought here, Christine?
I'm just shaking my head and agreeing with you, Mark. We have an awesome God who is faithful, and we cannot measure his faithfulness by our faithfulness because we fail, we fall short, but our God is amazingly faithful to us.
So what a great lesson this is. Serving God often calls for courage, is a reminder to each and every one of us. And so let's make sure we're taking this lesson, sharing it with those who need to hear it, who are in our classes and around us. Invite somebody to come to your Sunday school class as you move forward toward this particular Sunday. And so, Christina, I want you to hold on. If you're a Bible teacher, I want you to hold on for just a moment because Christina is going to give us a powerful teaching tip for today. But I just want to remind you, you can get your copy of the U Bible Study Curriculum at lifeway.com/U. That's lifeway.com/YOU. It is our for us, by us Bible study curriculum designed for multi-ethnic and urban churches. It comes in a paper and digital format, has a great leader's pack. It aligns with our Bible Studies for Life student and kids curriculum. So there's something for every age. All right, Christina, give us our Bible teaching tip for today.
Okay, Mark, our tip for today is that you as a teacher be prepared to empathize and validate. Now, what do I mean by that? It's always good to be prepared to share testimonies. So as you study about Elijah this week, think about a scenario that required that you stand courageously for God. And here are some questions. Did you sense God's presence and empowerment? What was the outcome? When you think about your answers and you prepare your answers, you'll be better prepared to respond to learners with empathy and validation, and encourage them to share examples as well from their own lives. That's my tip for today, Mark.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for joining us on today. This has been an incredible lesson, and I'm sure it will be impactful with your group as you present it in your Sunday school class. Join us again for the U Bible Study Podcast, because you never know where God will take you.